Let's open the service in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for those that have gathered here to worship you. And we dedicate this service to you. We pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, that you would be lifted up, and the believers would be encouraged in you today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. George is coming to lead us in worship. Let's just enter right in.
When the trump of the great archangel, his mighty tone shall sound, and the end of the age proclaiming shall pierce the depths profound, when the Son of Man shall come in the glory and take the saints on high. What a shouting in the skies when the multitude that rise, changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed in the twinkling of an eye, twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, changed in the twinkling of an eye. When he comes in the clouds descending, and they who loved him hear, from the grave shall awake and praise him with joy and not with fear. When the body and the soul are united and the cold no more to die, what a shouting from the demon. The dead shall be raised, changed in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, the seed that was sown in weakness shall then be raised in power, and the songs of the blood brought millions shall tell that blissful hour. When we gather safely home in the morning and night star shadows fly, what a shouting on the shore when we need to part no more. Change in the twinkling of an eye. Change, change in the twinkling of an eye. Change, change in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Change in the twinkling, in the twinkling of an eye. Change in the twinkling, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, changed in the twinkling of an eye, of an eye.
Hallelujah.
Round him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne. Mark out the heavenly anthem, grounds all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king throughout eternity.
Could we stand while we sing?
Crown him the Son of God before the worlds began, and he who tread where he had trod, crown him the Son of Man. Who every grief hath flown that wings the human breast, and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him
do that last verse again.
Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above. In beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail. The Lord, thou hast died for me. Thy praise.
Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Could we sing that one more time? Let's sing that again. Turn the book shut. Let's sing that last line again. That is a good line. Hallelujah.
Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above. In beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail. For thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power. Our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we the redeemed shall be strong. Wisdom and thanks, honor and power and justified, His kingdom come.
Yes, the kingdom comes tonight.
And this kingdom will know no end, and His glory shall know no bounds. For the majesty and power of this kingdom.
Sing praises to His name this morning. If you sing quietly in your heart, that's fine. If you sing loud and raise your hands, that's fine. If you want to clap your hands, that's fine. If you want to wave your hands, that's fine. But He loves our praises, and He comes to inhabit the praises of His people. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to your name, O Lord.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing
can compare with the beauty of the Lord. Hallelujah.
All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever of the I'll gladly bow my knee and worship you alone.
One more time.
Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I'll gladly bow my knee.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, and Acts chapter 1. Those two particular passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. You don't have to go too far in your Bible to find those because they're not separated by that many books. Luke chapter 24. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to be talking about the Ascension today. Today is Ascension Sunday. And I thought I would speak to you on the importance of the Ascension. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Acts chapter 1. Beginning with verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The Ascension is important because Luke talks about it twice, in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. The last chapter in his gospel and the first chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. But just before Jesus gave this last-minute teaching, there is a very interesting comment that is made. Luke says that Jesus opened their minds. He opened up their understanding. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's an interesting image that Jesus would open up their understanding, the opening of the mind. You know, I'm not sure that anything significant in this world can be done without the Lord opening our minds and our understanding. There's a story of a man who refused to go to church. His wife prayed that one day he would attend, but he just said that there was always so much work to do, so much work to do on the farm. After a lot of negotiating, they finally reached an agreement. He would go to church if she would stay behind and get the work done. And so she did. That afternoon when he returned, she could hardly wait. She asked, "Did you go to Sunday service?" "Yes," he answered. "How was the service?" she asked. Was his reply. "How was the pastor's sermon?" He responded again. "Did you even hear the sermon?" "Yes," he answered. "Well then, what was it about?" "Sin." "Well, what did the pastor have to say about sin?" "He was against it." See, an open mind. I'm not sure that man had an open mind when he came to church. What I'm sure is that in the 30 seconds it told Jesus to give his disciples these final words about the kingdom of God and the life of Christ and the meaning of the cross and the empty tomb and the mission that they were given, all of it came flooding into their minds with a new sense of understanding. Finally, they understood as the pieces began to fit together in their minds. At once, their lives were changed, and so would the world be changed because Christ had opened their minds. It is a significant statement this morning that Christ opened their understanding. And you know what? He wants to do the same thing for you and I today. He wants to open our understanding. So before we go any further and talk about the ascension, let's bow and ask the Lord to do that, to open our understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would give us insight this morning that we might see the importance of the ascension. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would do for us as you did for the disciples before you left, that you would open their minds, that you would open their understanding, that you would do that for us today. Open everybody's mind here to the gospel. Open their understanding that they might not just hear, but understand the words of this message this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that the last thing that Jesus did in his flesh was to vanish? The last thing that he did on this earth was to disappear. This was something the disciples didn't expect. They had no warning. There was no clue that Jesus was going to just up and vanish. In fact, in Matthew, the words from Jesus were, "Lo, I am with you always," and then poof, he vanishes, he's taken up into the clouds. The significant thing is that after he ascended, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There's a verse here that just stuck out. To me, at first, it didn't make sense. Luke chapter 24 and verse 52 says, "And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Now think about this for a moment. Jesus is taken up away from them. He has gone up into the clouds. He has gone away from them for the last time, and the scripture says that this filled the heart of the disciples with joy. Now be honest, is that the reaction that you would expect from the disciples at this point? All of a sudden, without announcement, while Jesus is blessing them, he is taken up. You know, I'd expect some confusion, perplexity, some sadness on the part of the disciples. But instead, they had great joy and they returned to the temple and there they praised and they blessed God daily. Why? Why did they have such great joy? Joy overflowing that it had to come out in praise and blessing to God on a daily basis. Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was doing this, he ascended. I want you to understand this morning that the ascension itself was a great blessing. His going was a blessing. I would have thought that for Jesus to stay would have been a great blessing. Can you imagine what the resurrected Christ could have done on the streets of Jerusalem and in the nation of Israel? But you know what? I've discovered a long time ago that God's ways are not man's ways. And God's ways are higher and better than our ways. And I've discovered that one of the greatest blessings of the church might shock you, but one of the greatest blessings of the church is that Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh. Not that Jesus is no longer with us, but that Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh. His ascension should be a source of great joy for us today as well. Now, there were probably more than one ascension, but we are dovetailing them together today and talking about the last ascension. It was a public ascension. I'm not going to separate the other ascensions. I just want us to see the last ascension and how it was a source of joy. So why was the ascension of Jesus, why was him being taken from them and returning to heaven a source of joy for the disciples, and why should it be a source of joy for us today as well? Number one, because a work had been completed. A work had been completed. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Sitting is a signal of a work that is completed. Aren't you glad that at the end of the day, when your work is done, you can sit down, put your feet up, relax a little bit? The work is done. It's been completed. You know, you might try to sit down in the middle of the day, but your mind goes to those things that you have to do, the work that is yet unfinished. But I want you to know that when Jesus ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, his work on earth was completed at that time. The work as far as salvation goes was finished. It was completed. The seventh day of creation, God rested. He didn't rest until all the work was done. He didn't rest until creation was established. Jesus finished the work of salvation, and then he ascended and he sat down. Let me share with you a verse that tells you why you can believe salvation is a finished work. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Please understand me this morning. If God has begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. He'll complete it. God never leaves things half done. He always completes what he sets out to do. He will bring you to completion. He will bring to you maturity. He will finish the salvation that has started in your life. Oh, you might be going through a dark time now. You might be going through a wilderness experience now. You may be struggling now, and sometimes we wonder if I'll ever make it. Let me tell you, you will make it. You'll make it. Why? Because Jesus finished the work of salvation. He ascended into heaven. He sat down. He began a good work in you. He will finish it. He will complete it. Psalm 24 and verse 7 and onward concerns his ascension. Listen to these words, powerful words. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then the psalmist said, Selah. Pause and think about that. Did you ever stop to think about the reception there was in heaven when Jesus returned to heaven to stay? As he walked the streets of glory, the angels must have rejoiced. The Father must have met him and embraced him and said, "Well done, son, have a seat." After the resurrection, Jesus stayed around just long enough to do a couple of things. He stayed around just long enough to do a couple of things. What did he stay around long enough to do? Well, first of all, he stayed around long enough to convince us that he was real and alive. You ever wonder why Jesus had to eat after the resurrection? Why did he eat? Simply to prove that he was real. There was not something else, not just a ghost that had raised from the dead, but that he, in his flesh, in his humanity, not setting aside his deity, but in his humanity also, conquered death and the grave. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 and onward, says, "And as they thus spake the disciples. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit, a ghost, hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? What a time to eat. What a time to have food on your mind. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of honeycomb. I don't think Jesus was eating because he was hungry. He was trying to show them that he was alive and that he was real. And he took it and did eat before them. Jesus wanted to prove to his disciples that he was real and not some hologram that people would hear about in a few thousand years. He was not just alive, but he was real. Real flesh, real bones. See, Jesus was never ashamed at his humanity. He was never ashamed of his manhood. The man, Christ Jesus, is still our mediator. And when we see him, he will still carry his scars. Do you know that Jesus will be the only one in heaven who will carry the scars of this life with him? When we get there, the scars of our life will all be gone. But Jesus will still have the scars. He'll still have the prints of the nails in his hand. He'll still have the hole in his side, because his scars are his glory. And someday I just think that we will worship those hands.